This is TWiT.
Well, Elisa, it looks like MIT is getting into the big Twitter data racket.
Yeah, this is an exciting new partnership of research and social media. Twitter is actually going to turn over every recorded tweet dating back to Jack Dorsey's very first one in 2006 to MIT's Media Lab. It has donated $10 million to the Media Lab, which is going to study how information spreads on Twitter and already has done some research in this area before. So joining us to talk about it on the phone is Hiawatha Bray, tech columnist at the Boston Globe. Hiawatha, welcome.
Hello there.
So kind of give us some background on how all of this partnership kind of came to pass in the first place. Were the two entities already working together in the first place?
Well, yeah, they kind of were, because what you have here is a professor at the Media Lab who basically had created a company called Bluefin, which existed to analyze the way people use Twitter while they're watching television, which is kind of odd. But of course, as you undoubtedly know, millions of people around the world now sit with their laptops or their phones tweeting as they watch. And they realized that they could acquire a great deal of very interesting marketing information by analyzing all this stuff. And so basically, that's now what they're going to do. So this professor's name is Deb Roy, created a company called Bluefin Labs to do that. And last year, Twitter paid an estimated $100 million to buy this company and made him Twitter's chief data scientist. And now they're expanding that partnership. He wanted to return to the MIT faculty, get more active at the MIT Media Lab, but he wanted to continue his connection with Twitter. And they said, hey, let's do both. And they came up with this idea.
Fantastic.
Now, I'm really excited about this because I've seen some data research done on Twitter data in a limited way by organizations vastly less capable than MIT, and it's been fascinating. It's an incredible repository of human behavior and trends over time, and I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with this. Now, to what extent is this going to be open to other scientists, to companies, to outside people who also want to get access to some of the information that is contained inside all of those tweets?
Well, to a considerable extent, it already is. It was like, I think, February of this year that Twitter announced a program that they are doing. Oh, it's called Data Something, or I'm forgetting the name of it. It's in my story. And it's a program where they are basically asking academic researchers to come up with useful things they could learn by studying Twitter messages. And then they're picking the most promising looking programs, and they're saying, fine, we're going to give you complete access to the entire Twitter database. Now, they've already, for example, picked out Harvard and Boston Children's Hospital, Harvard Medical School and Boston Children's Hospital. They've already got it. And what they're trying to do is see if you can figure out the spread of foodborne diseases in a large population by watching what people are tweeting about. So I guess they're going to go back and look at outbreaks of salmonella and then look at what was on Twitter at the same time and see if they get any clues. So they're doing that over at Harvard right now. And there are people in Japan and Australia and Britain who are all working on these kinds of things. And they're using the entire Twitter database to study and see if they can get clues. And if it works, that gives us the possibility that in the future, before stuff happens, we'll be able to read incoming tweets and get some idea of what's going on. You know, like when Godzilla finally does attack San Francisco or something, we'll see him coming.
Exciting stuff. So when are we going to actually start seeing some of the first research come out of this? I know this is just being announced, but it already sounds so exciting. So
like you said, it's a five-year project. We don't know how long before they actually produce any kinds of results. I expect that in the years ahead, before the 5 years are up, we'll start getting some kind of information, but time will tell. The other thing, of course, that everybody's worried, at least this is what I'm worrying about. What came to my mind when I heard about this was the now notorious Facebook story, where it turned out that they were changing what we saw on Facebook in an effort to sort of change the way we think. I don't think that's going to happen here, but I begin to get just slightly nervous when I find out that very smart people are analyzing what we say on the internet with an eye to changing our way of looking at the world. And they openly admit that what they're trying to do is come up with tools that can be used by media organizations and governments to advance social agendas of various kinds, like gender equality. Okay, fine. But to what extent do we want these elites controlling what we think by manipulating, say, Twitter? I don't know. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, But that's the kind of thing that makes me nervous. I think these should be communications media, and I'm all in favor of analyzing what people are saying in an effort to figure out better how they can solve various social problems. But I hope they don't tip over into the realm of trying to make us think different. That makes me nervous.
Yeah, because that's our job in the media.
Yeah,
you know, that's
exactly.
That's something that Google realized when they started predicting about, you know, disease outbreaks based on people's activity on search. It turns out that they were completely wrong the last time. They were right a couple of years in a row, and then they were wrong because the media suddenly decided to go crazy and with a lot of scaremongering about the flu and so on. And so people started doing the search based on their anxiety, which was generated by the press. So really, that's one of the things I hope that they'll be able to really clarify in this, that it's not, you know, people don't necessarily act on social media based on reality. They do it based on what they're thinking about, and what they're thinking about comes from the media for the most part. So that'll be an interesting area of research, I hope, for this project.
Absolutely. I don't know. Time will tell. I'm all for doing this because it really is this immense database of something that we have never before had. We can actually chronicle the minute-by-minute thoughts of hundreds of millions of people. I mean, right now, the BBC is rerunning these recordings of the diary of Samuel Pepys, this guy in the 17th century who wrote everything that happened to him over a 10-year period. And it gives us this huge insight into what life was like in London in that period. But that's just one guy. Imagine if you could see what billions of people were thinking at a particular moment in history. Now we can. And that could be hugely useful.
Hiawatha Bray writes at thebostonglobe.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at WATHA. Thank you so much for joining us,
Hiawatha
Bray.
Thanks very much.
All right.
Yeah.